Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so begins Holy Week. And thanks be to God, we made it to another Holy Week, though I wouldn't complain if Jesus came back before next year. Nevertheless, we meet him again on the road to Jerusalem. Again, as in Advent, we have the borrowed donkey, the palms on the path, the complaining Pharisees, the cries for salvation. Hosanna, Hosanna, save us. It will be 4 days until he leaves his last will and testament and is betrayed. 5 until he suffers his passion and dies the death of sinners. 6 until he takes his finished Sabbath rest. And 7 until life begins again. So here we are on our journey, Palm Sunday, where Jesus rides. In the spirit of a triumphal victory parade after having completed the mission, Jesus rides on to accomplish the victory. The battle is there in the city. He rides on to die, to sacrifice. He rides on to face doubting disciples, fleeing disciples, betraying disciples. Yet he rides. He rides to be ridiculed, mocked, scorned, beaten. Yet he rides. He knows what's ahead, yet he goes. He goes to lay down his life that no one takes from him, but that which he lays down of his own accord, uncomplaining forth. He's in control, and so he rides. He rides to present his offering, the offering of his own blood for the sins of the whole world. He rides ready to bear the iniquities of Sodom and Gomorrah, of Washington, D.C., of Terre Haute, Indiana, of white sinners, black sinners, Latino sinners, Asian sinners. If anybody has the red blood of humankind, for you he rides to bear all of your lusts, all of your gossip, all of your hatred, all of your scheming, your vanities, your comfort idols. For you, he rides. For the schisms that tear you apart, friend from friend, neighbor from neighbor, mother-in-law from daughter-in-law, for all of these that divides us in our world, he rides. For everything that these sins and more cost, he meets the demands. He pays the price. And there's no other way. Thanks be to God, he chose this, the only path to save us sinners. He rides to the praises of children. He rides ready to drain the cup of wrath for you in your stead, as your substitute to make atonement for your guilt. He carries forward to break the gates of hell, to crush the serpent's head, to rob every grave, to kill death itself. He is the king who comes riding on a donkey, humble, humble to the point of death. He goes to claim you back as his own, to wash you into his family, cleansing you, sanctifying you by water and the word, for you to become a child of God, just as he is the Son of God. Jesus makes you his brother. This indeed, dear saints, is his great passion. He sought no acclaim. All honor already belonged to him, but he wanted to give all his honor to you, the treasures of heaven to you. This is his passion, his passionate love. This is really what we mean when we say passion, that movie, now quite old, The Passion of Christ, the word passion, it's more than just referring to the events of his suffering and death, the events of Good Friday. No, passion means what you think it means, obsessive, driven love. This was his intense love for you, to lay down his life, to suffer and die for you. He wouldn't stray from that path. He wouldn't take himself down from the cross because that love for you was unwavering. He's ever passionate about emptying himself of all, even his own life, so that we would have his life. He loves those even before any of us care to love him back, even for those whom he died who ultimately reject him. He's not pleased to cast the unbeliever into the hell of wrath. But Jesus weeps over Jerusalem on this week, crying over those whom he would spill his blood for, yet would nevertheless reject him. Tears of love. Love that drives him to become incarnate in the first place, and in our day to become incarnate in bread and wine so that he can dwell in you. To be with you always, to give you his covenant, that promise that he is yours and you are his. He rides on, not as a spirit or ghost, not as a vague recollection of events that may or may not have happened. No, he rides on to the throne of your tongue and into your heart. He rode in his body that became beaten, bruised, bloodied, pierced, laid in the tomb, rose to new life. And it is that same crucified and risen body that is given to you so that you would confess Jesus is Lord. The Lord who gives you all that is good, who places no poison in the cup that he sends you, to take up your cross and follow him. That by such cross you are forgiven, and by such resurrection you shall be glorified. He rides this Passover week to mark the door of our tongues and hearts with his blood, to stave off the angel of death. That tongue of yours which can set ablaze an entire forest fire of wickedness if it's not bridled. That tongue is liberated to say, Jesus is Lord. The blood of Christ poured forth from the chalice upon our tongues into our hearts, making us pure from the outside in. You may think that you are merely consuming Jesus. Surely that is true, but beyond that reality is that further reality that his blood is consuming and covering you. Death passes you over, and you are spared in the forgiveness of sins. So ride on, Jesus, for us. This week, as we remember these events, lay down your life of your own accord, you who passionately love us unto death, even death on a cross. Hosanna, save us. And it pleases him to do so. A lamb goes uncomplaining forth. He rides for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.